it's so exciting. Yeah. And then a lot of improvements on San Andres Street, which is the main street of the West Side neighborhood. And sprinkled all throughout there is really, again, making your route less stressful. Again, whether you're walking, biking, or driving, you just can't wait. Where it's Christmas Day for us transportation planners to be working on such amazing community projects. It's really an honor.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Jessica Grant in the city's transportation department here in Santa Barbara, California. And we're going to talk about all of her recent transportation projects, all the improvements, all the new infrastructure for bicyclists and pedestrians and motorists, too. I'm Frank Peters. I'm your host, and you're listening to SantaBarbaraCyclist.com. Thanks so much for coming back. Let's get right back to Jessica.
Yes, I'm Jessica Grant. I'm the Supervising Transportation Planner with the City of Santa Barbara.
Very good. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today? Active transportation, all kinds of transportation.
We could talk about all things transportation and, of course, active transportation because it's actually very active right now. We have a lot of projects in construction.
It's a favorite topic with me, too. Yeah. So, and it's also kind of getting towards a year end. I was thinking kind of like I read a lot of books. This is when the best books of the year come out. What are some of the best projects perhaps you worked on this year?
This year, construction right now, it's been really exciting, is the East Side and West Side Community Paseos projects. What's exciting about them is they're new to Santa Barbara for that style of infrastructure. So mainly their bike boulevards, as most of the cycling community would know them as. They have different names all over the world. We've been calling them bike-friendly streets. And then the overall network is sort of our Paseo system connecting West Side residents within the neighborhood and East Side residents within their neighborhood and then from both of those neighborhoods into downtown.
Everybody in Santa Barbara knows what a Paseo is, but not so many people outside of Santa Barbara. How would you describe a Paseo?
For Paseo for cycling, again, we've had a tough time. What do we label these as? And it's Santa Barbara's very well known for the pedestrian paseos. And so this is sort of a larger scale Paseo system on networking from neighborhoods to our downtown center. It's, again, lower volume streets. And how we make them lower volume is we'll have some traffic diverters to keep the volume of vehicles low, so cyclists feel comfortable riding along the road with vehicles. So it's not a bike lane, not a separated path. You're still in the street, but it will be more comfortable because it won't have the same high road volumes as some of the neighboring streets.
Paseo is a term they use downtown, too, a lot, right? Sometimes done tours. There are 11 Paseos off of State Street, something like that.
Something like that.
Try and count them, though. I'm not going to put you on the spot to name them all because I couldn't do it either.
But a lot from our parking facilities and then connecting to State Street, which is our main street in downtown. Mm-hmm. But we also have fun pedestrian Paseo networks throughout the Riviera. They're kind of little hidden gems, and you kind of find them through the local residents here.
It is a local gem.
They're really fun to experience.
I like to brag, I know how to walk up to the Riviera to go to the movies, through the neighborhoods and everything, up the stairs, and it's fun. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I often am traveling over on Sola, and Sola's gotten a lot of attention lately.
Yes. And that Sola is part of our West Side and East Side Paseos project network, and that's the downtown connection. that is almost complete. It should be complete by the end of this month.
Oh, great.
And so it is very new, a lot of attention. And I think I think all of us in residence, and we all tend to be creatures of habit. And so for those driving, the travel patterns will change at some of the locations. Again, to keep the road
volumes low. People seldom complain, though.
Yeah, but I think that's the exciting part. We've also have traffic signals time for the cyclists that just came online this week.
So I used to walk in that direction towards the park. Well, I say walk in my neighbor's dog. It was tricky getting to the park, and I'd often say, this is a park with people and children and people walking dogs, so that's going to be very well received by a lot of pedestrians, don't you think?
Yes, and I think it takes a while just to, once we put in an improvement, it takes about 3 to 6 months for it to settle in as a habit, no matter whether you're walking, biking, or driving. But I think the walking and biking experience will be very nice. Again, we're hearing good things about for Gillespie, for the residents, and that's another popular one because it connects 2 elementary schools and 1 junior high. Oh. So now it's a really nice low-volume street for kids and families to get to and from school. Also, San Pasquale and the west side is also another low-volume street. That's the big commuter street, and then local street connection as well. And then for those commuting, say, from Goleta coming into downtown, they'll be able to cut through the west side, San Pasquale, Mitchell Trina Bridge. And we now have protected bike lanes on that bridge. And then eventually there will be a connection coming soon on Castillo to Sola to bring you right into downtown.
Nice.
What's really exciting for Sola, that's the first really strong east-west connection for biking in our downtown area. The other strong areas are Beachway. Beachway is great, except if you work or travel to school crossing the downtown area, then the Beachway could be out of the way.
Yes.
So right now, with the recent addition for Sola as the bike connection, it's really exciting.
When you say Beachway, you're thinking Cabrillo?
Yes. Yeah. So along the Cabrillo Boulevard, we have on-street bike lanes for the strong and enthusiast cyclists. But then the Beachway is really our all-aged facility that runs along the entire waterfront
and
then part of the overall 30-mile coast.
It's very popular,
connection.
Isn't it?
Very popular.
So I'm a pedestrian in these areas that you're speaking of lately. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, first came traffic lights and new cut corners, ramps at the intersections. The traffic signals, for one, just made it so much, safer, I guess, comfortable to... I can walk from my neighborhood to Cottage Hospital and Sansom, on those occasions when I need to. And anyway, that route has become much more comfortable
for
me. Yeah.
Glad to hear.
Transportation, you're dreaming up these projects and finding the money for them. There's a lot of motivation here in the transportation department to make these kinds of improvements.
Yes, it's a really exciting time to be a transportation planner in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, we've had a bicycle master plan since the 70s and early 2000s for our pedestrian master plan. But a lot of it is we didn't have the funding to really have transformative projects because a lot of our funding goes to just maintaining our streets and what we have. In 2014 came along the state's active transportation program, complete game changer to fund higher level active transportation projects. So to date, we've received about $94 million in funding towards active infrastructure projects. Most that would be considered in disadvantaged communities or environmental justice communities where we see really high volumes of walkers and bikers. And so it's been very exciting to focus in on those neighborhoods and really provide safety and access within our neighborhoods. So it's super exciting. And we have a very passionate community for change. And when we have our planning efforts, there's one thing to just document in a plan. There's another thing of actually implementing it. And when you're already years into community outreach, we're very vested as staff to put forth really good applications. We were ready. And so, yeah, the first few cycles was really concentration on our east side neighborhood where we got a lot of safe routes to school infrastructure with the Cacique and Soledad bridges. Like, again, the school district split on that street for Cleveland and Franklin. And so we were able to put in two bridges for connection. It's a really low volume street to get to and from their school.
It's a really sweet little bridge.
Yes. And then we, had some sidewalk, and then the Montecito Yananali Bridge, which moms and children used to have to sprint across to get to and from school into the Franklin Neighborhood Center, where there's a lot of food distributions and the East Side Library, that we were able to have sidewalk along there as well. And then with the recent funding, we're turning our attention back to the downtown of the East Side neighborhood on along Milpas Street to have crossing improvements there all along the corridor. So super exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
Talk about Las Positas for a minute.
Yeah.
That turned out just beautiful. What was the funding planning process for that like?
That one was, again, a long time coming. It was documented in this 1970s plan.
Oh, really?
The 1974 to have a separated bike facility along Las Positas. The issue is that used to be part of Caltrans, State Route 225. And so we actually did not have that relinquished to the city until about 2014. We had started discussions of relinquishment to the city back in 2013, and that's when we started to investigate how can we put a path here, because that's a really high volume street and a fast street. And so the only way for this, and it also had a complete a collision pattern history as well. So really the only way was to separate pedestrians and cyclists from the roadway to really make it an all-age facility. So it was the first round where we went after the grant funding. We had no idea about the California Active Transportation Program. We threw our hat to the ring, put together an application. We were successful for the planning and environmental phase. And then later in a couple more cycles, we received the construction funding for it. So it was overall, it was about 10-year process from that standpoint to actually get it in the ground from Las Positas, Modoc. But just so exciting because the neighborhoods, we never see the residents. And now, just again, for the all ages, there's a lot of senior communities along Modoc Road. And it's just fun to watch everybody out on a walk or bike ride. We have this cycling without age that brings some of the seniors out to experience the path. It's 2.6 miles and it's growing too. We just had an extension to the unincorporated county line. And then the county's working to connect to the Oberon Trail. So they have half of the path done. And again, this is all about getting all age facilities of our coast route that connects Ventura to all the way up to UCSB, Goleta area. So exciting.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
10 years. You got to have a lot of patience in your job.
A lot of patience. Yes, I think that's the hardest part of when we do our outreach, because we have to talk about
it. Even with a happy ending, it's a long time.
Even with a happy ending, it is. And especially because we work on a lot of Safe Routes to School projects. So some of our kindergartners might be
graduating from
high school. Or
at least high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's a process. And even though we're working on the projects on a daily basis, it's just to go through environmental and technical review, and we want it done right, takes time. And we appreciate the residents' patience for that. And a lot of times it takes time because we build the community's projects. They're not our staff projects. They're the community's projects. Mm-hmm. And so you don't just meet with the community one time. It's you're constantly meeting through the community from all the way from concept till it's in the ground trying to build.
Let's talk about those community meetings.
Yes.
Because it's like they say about democracy,
yes,
right? It can be messy, or everybody's got opinions. Not everybody's crazy about these projects. So you've got to be quite tolerant,
yes,
of all the input that you get.
We have what's fun about Santa Barbara is the level of passion from residents. And we do. We have a really mix of, can we get this in tomorrow? We never want this project. And trying to find a common ground to move forward. I think even if you don't want to walk, you don't want to bike, I think as a driver too, you'll appreciate these facilities because you've now given choices for people when residents leave out their front door to be able to walk, bike, or drive. And when you give people choices, then it lessens the traffic congestion. And so I think over time, drivers will also appreciate these improvements. State Street Vision Zero Undercrossing project.
Yes.
So that is also super exciting.
It's also taken a while.
It's also taken a while through the process, but now we're actually under construction. And again, it takes lots of patience, but we're finally at the fun part of actually constructing it. And it will just take probably about 2 years to construct. And what that project is, connecting the downtown with the waterfront. And downtown and waterfront are the highest levels of walking and biking in the city. Right now, it's basically repurposing a freeway underpass to balance out between the space needed for pedestrians. So we're essentially doubling the sidewalks underneath the underpass and then having protected bike lanes under the underpass. This is, unfortunately, the approaches at the underpass and through the underpass is also one of our highest levels of traffic-related collisions that are pedestrian and bicycle related. So this project is addressing that. So also very exciting. So a very important safety project. And mm-hmm. We started with the east side of the underpass, and then we'll move over to the west side once that's complete. But because of the volumes of bikes and peds underneath that underpass daily, we couldn't shut it down completely.
Oh, true.
So we have to build one side at a time. So it will mm-hmm. take longer, mm-hmm. But it would have been a major inconvenience to shut it down from all access levels, whether you're biking, driving, or walking.
I can see that's going to be very popular too. The beach side, you got a lot of hotels down there. You got a mm-hmm. lot of tourists coming mm-hmm. to town, and you want them to come to maybe the more commercial side, a little bit upper State Street there. And this will make it much more appealing to people.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And just inviting and the way that it's designed. The Jeff Shelton is a local architect, very well known for his architecture. He helped us in the design phase.
Oh,
so
nice.
It will be really fun. We have great lighting right now, even in pure daylight. That undercrossing is very dark. And so all of that will receive an upgrade. So we won't feel uncomfortable like you do now.
Yeah, that's going to be great. How about Measure C? That's brought a lot of money into the city. It's the 1 cent sales tax.
Yeah.
What have you noticed the impact from Measure C?
For Measure C, it's been great because for our roadway system, for years and years, we had very minimal sources for funding for just our pavement maintenance. It was basically just under about $3 million a year prior to Measure C. That's essentially all we had. And so that's why it was so important for us to go after grant funding too for active transportation, because we have to maintain what we have. Because there was such a backlog in pavement maintenance, we're still not completely caught up from that backlog, but it has just been so excited just to get our streets maintained. As a driver, as a cyclist, you'll appreciate that as well, having freshly paved streets.
I do.
Yes. And then as pedestrian too, because then we're able, once we have the nice slurry seal on there, then we can paint our high visibility crosswalks. And then also it provides with our pavement maintenance opportunities to relook at restriping some of our bike lanes. We always do Vision Zero audits of our corridors. And so through some of that work, again, we've been able to have implement buffered bike lanes or new bike lanes and that type of thing. So it's really great, but it's Measure C still continues. We still need the funding for maintaining what we have. So as far as more bells and whistles from that funding source, not quite yet. We just need to really focus on the maintenance part for that.
You've mentioned Vision Zero a couple of times, yes. Jessica. I know what it is, but maybe not everybody does. How would you describe Vision Zero?
Well, we're a Vision Zero city. The council adopted the strategy back in 2018, and that's to eliminate all fatalities and severe injuries from our roadway. Severe injuries is basically an injury that you have to seek medical attention for. And so it's really looking at it from different perspectives. So where are we seeing collision patterns in our city? How do we address those collision patterns over time? And are there engineering solutions? Is it education related? Is it enforcement related? All of those things really play into the overall Vision Zero strategy. And we have Vision Zero high priority corridors in the city. Unfortunately, there's 23 high priority corridors, but we've, over the past several years, a lot of our active transportation projects are our Vision Zero projects, and really hoping that we cool our collision pattern mapping over time.
One of the things about Vision Zero that always kind of stuck with me, just a little part of it, was people shouldn't be, seriously injured just because they make a mistake. As I have become more of a senior citizen, I'm more aware of the mistakes that I make when I'm out there on the road. And anyway, those kinds of improvements to minimize the potential consequences have really, mattered to me.
Yeah, we look at our users of transportation network from two-year-olds to our more mature residents as well. And one thing with the Measure C monies when we're repaving is we've been able to get in a lot of access ramps. And so as you mature, the just even a step up onto a sidewalk can be difficult to navigate, even for somebody that's not considered disabled, but that, you know, mobility lessens over time. And so that's been extremely welcome and popular by our residents to fix those over time to make our whole walking environment accessible.
I suppose we should talk about State Street, the promenade, right? That's a very timely subject. Yesterday, the city was out there striping bike lanes on State Street. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so many transportation issues, right? There are people that love it and don't love it.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, let's talk about the bike lanes. What's the project occurring right now?
So right now it's a pilot project in State Street Promenade. It was open to cyclists and pedestrians shortly after the pandemic hit in I believe it was May of 2020 when we opened it just for bikes and peds, delivery vehicles in the morning. So what we are hearing over time, and we're trying different things in the right-of-way, and of course, what came initially was all the outdoor dining, because at the time, the restaurants couldn't have dining inside, but the outdoor dining has been so popular on State Street that is still very active. But we're also hearing, too, that even that I think when we think of our transportation network, everybody could be doing a better job, whether you're walking, biking, or driving. Where there's friction still is between cyclists and pedestrians. And then within the cycling community, there's the difference from your conventional bikes to your e-bikes and that type of thing. And so we wanted to explore just having bike lanes back on State Street. We will see how that goes to hopefully channel and have cyclists and more expectations where cyclists are. And so pedestrians can still use sort of the shoulders of outside of the bike lanes to still be in the street and then in the sidewalks as well. So hopefully the friction will lessen. We're still dealing with some speed issues as well. So
the electric bikes.
Yeah.
So people complain they go too fast.
Yeah, we're going to have the painted bike lanes and, but expect to see vertical treatments too to help slow cyclists down. And again, this is just in the interim phase. So we'll see how it goes. But there's also the bigger, a whole long-term vision for State Street that's underway. It's known as Create State. And so we see this again as just an interim pilot. We want to test it out, and then we'll see what the long-term vision holds. But
I remember the expression, it's an experiment. You gotta try these alternatives. Striping the street for a bike lane, it might take a while. It's not likely to be an overnight cure for pedestrian-bicycle conflict, but it's a start anyway. Mm-hmm. I live really close to State Street, so I'm out there all the time. I see pedestrians, tourists, I think. Mm-hmm. They love walking in the street. Mm-hmm. You can just see. They don't realize maybe the potential threat from a fast-moving electric bicycle, but they love, anyway, see a lot of vitality on State Street these days.
For me personally, too, I think initially we were all drawn walking down the middle of the street. It's because Santa Barbara, the architecture is just so beautiful that when we were walking on the sidewalks, we were walking right up against the building, and it was finally the time when you were walking down the middle of the street that you could really appreciate all the beauty of State Street. So I think that was really fun initially, and I think that's what my observations, and maybe your observations too, was initially for pedestrians right in the middle of the street. I think we're seeing more of pedestrians sort of back on the sidewalk areas. But like you said, I think if for tourists and everything, and I think that's what the on-street bike lanes will help have a little bit more signage that to expect faster moving traffic. But I think it's just natural that you want a good viewpoint.
Right. Chairs came to State Street.
Adirondack type
chairs. And that has made such a difference in my social life out there. I sit down if I'm so inclined, whether they're tourists or a friend coming by, somebody will sit down and conversation starts. They talk about placemaking.
Yeah.
I am surprised how well the furniture on State Street has been appreciated.
Yeah, I think it's, and then from my experience too, is in city planning and transportation planning, it is that placemaking, and do you want to design a city for people or for cars? And I think what's been so fun, and probably your own experience is that, yeah, you just have to sit on the chair for a few minutes and you're talking, you run into people you know, and then, yeah, people that you don't know. And that's what's so exciting.
It is.
I think about State Street, and even on our own lunch breaks, we always say, oh, we talked to 5 people on our route to go get lunch. And I always feel comforted whether I'm walking or biking that I do find somebody that we know. And that's what's great about our community.
It is. Well, we're wrapping up, Jessica. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap. My time with Jessica is over, and time to say goodbye. Thank you for tuning in to the Santa Barbara Cyclist. Please come by and check out some of the other podcast interviews on the site. Well, thanks so much for listening, and good night.